the environmental impact of fast fashion and its subsequent waste is shocking. What is the actual cost to the environment?
It's the world's second largest pollution-driving industry is the fashion industry, and it occurs at every single stage of the fashion cycle, the life cycle of the garment. So even, you know, even if you're using natural fibres, the pesticides required to grow the fibres, fossil fuels required to harvest the fibres, often the water, you know, and then it just goes on and on at every stage in the chain. So even... like, it's just huge. I can't even, you know, toxic chemicals to dye the clothes. It's just so easy to see it. And even synthetic fabrics as well, like, they just don't break down in the environment because they're a type of plastic, you know?
Wow, yeah, that's terrible. And I'm not sure too many people know about it, but yeah, so which groups, in your opinion, do you think will be the hardest to sway in terms of, like, promoting mending clothing? Because fashion among younger women specifically seems to give people confidence and kind of reaffirm their identity. And there's lots of social pressure surrounding that to look your best. And this idea of older clothing may not be able to compete with that. So how do we change the hearts and minds of these consumers?
Okay, well, there's always going to be a place for new clothes, you know, and we all love getting something new. I think what visible mending is about, though, you can sustain the life of your clothes and express your individuality that way. So if you look perhaps at ripped jeans from the big fast fashion stores, they're all ripped in exactly the same places, right? The holes in the ripped t-shirts are all in exactly the same places. So how much of an individual are you if you're wearing exactly the same jeans as everybody else? So taking the time to slow down and mend and express some individuality that way is a good talking point, and for people, I think. And another way too, if you do want something new, why not go to, you know, like a charity shop, find a fantastic item and fix it up. You still got the thrill of, you know, buying a new thing, getting a new thing, getting a new garment, wearing something new, because we all love to do that. But it's causing less damage than engaging with fast fashion. And it's also a piece that, because you've spent that time on it and you've found it, you've got your little come up, you know, we all have a come up, it's something that you'll hold on to longer. You're not just going to wear it twice and throw it away, which is a big part of the problem.
For sure. I think we would definitely value our clothes more than kind of having this detachment where it's made in a factory across the other side of the world and we can't really see that process. So we're quite disconnected to that. So do-it-yourself seems to be the solution. Are there any simple techniques individuals can practice at home? Can you elaborate perhaps on sashiko and darning methods of stitching?
Sure, yeah. So sashiko is fantastic. It's essentially Japanese embroidery. It's where it comes from, sashiko. But it's running stitch. And running stitch is the universal stitch. You find it in every culture. So you poke your needle up from underneath, loop it over the top and poke it back and pull it over and under and over and under. And that's all you've got to do, right? Darning is fairly similar as well. So you just anchor the fabric, anchor the needle in the fabric, pull the thread over the hole and then poke it back through, anchor it on the other side, and go round and round. There's another method called borrow, B-O-R-O, which is used in conjunction with sashiko, where you put your patch, you place a patch of fabric underneath the hole, and then you just do your lovely sashiko embroidery over the top. And you can make a feature with that as well. So even if you use, like, contrasting colours, you give little pops of colours, you make patterns out of holes. And that's the thing. It's so easy to learn. I actually got stuck into it myself when I was researching for this article, and it's incredibly addictive. And, you know, you just sort of start very simple and build it up. I got started because I had a really cheap shirt that I just liked it anyway. And because it was so cheap, I wasn't scared of ruining it. And I think that might be sometimes that people are afraid of starting things in case they'll ruin it. You really can't mess it up. You know, just give it a shot, give it a go. And the more you do it, the better you get. And you do improve very quickly. It's really satisfying.
It sounds it, and definitely probably therapeutic as well.
Absolutely.
So I think you mentioned there was a type of mending community or a mending party people could join. What kind of benefits can individuals reap from kind of doing this with others?
Look, it's really lovely. Like, there are so many groups online, you know, so there are tutorials online to get you started learning, but then there are online groups. And, you know, everybody is just, I've joined a few recently, and everybody is just so, like, nice. You know, there's no trolling. Everybody's there to support. They share their work. You can get great ideas. Mend It Australia is a really great one, and they have a broader purview to just get people repairing and recycling their own things. There are groups called Friends of the Upcycled Clothing and Upcycled Cloth Communities, and, you know, that's about repairing too. And it's just really lovely. You can also, like, just get together with your friends and give it a shot, and it's a lovely community thing. You know, it's about bringing people together, combating loneliness, slowing things down, you know.
Sure.
I think that's nice.
Yeah, for sure. We definitely need more community activities like this. And so nowadays we perhaps are getting a bit more aware of the environment with shows like War on Waste and all these sustainable options. Do you have faith in the grassroots movement or the individual level of change?
I do. I think, though, that we need to keep driving it forward, though, because as an individual, there's only so much you can do. You know, you can mend your clothes, you can get on there, you can give your message, but two people make the message stronger. Three people make it even stronger. And some of these online groups for mending have more than 14,000 people. You know, they're really popular, they're really big. And I think once the message gets out there, then grassroots movements can cause a groundswell that hopefully can influence decision makers, governments, corporates to really start to rethink the impact that they're having. And I think that's what, as well, a benefit from joining these movements can do. Yeah.
Yep, definitely change in numbers. Well, it sounds like a great movement, and hopefully others take it on board. Thank you so much for talking to us today, Emily.
Lovely, my pleasure. Thank you. Pick up a needle and thread and hook into it.
for sure. So that was Emily Brayshaw, a lecturer in fashion and design history and theory and thinking from the University of Technology, Sydney.